Okay, there we go. So God bless each and everyone. Welcome to our Bible study this evening. I'm going to just get in and share my screen straight away so we can get started. Good to see everybody. We've had a bit of a delay since we had our last Bible study, had other things came in the way. So it's really good to be back in fellowship again on a Wednesday. So God bless each and everyone. Sister Roseanne, good to see you there, and everybody who's joined in. God bless each and everyone. So what we're looking at, it's a little bit different than what we sent out in the morning. I sent out to Brother George and Brother Sasha, looking more at the 1 year's anniversary of the Gog and Magog, which we had a look at almost exactly a year ago. You know, it's been a year since the start of the war. But then just getting into it, it became a little bit more specific, and I thought this would be more beneficial for us to go. So we'll get on to that Gog and Magog. It's included in this, but the topic is quite a lot bigger than what I thought in the beginning. So we want to have a look at this thought of the great earthquake. That's how we changed the title, just so we can encompass a lot more in this thought. So what are we looking at this evening? Before we start, let's pray and ask the Lord's blessing. Father, we thank you that you've allowed us together once again, and you know, our desire, Father, is to fellowship with you. It's wonderful to connect together with your people, Jesus, but how we long for your Spirit to lead us, how we long for your Spirit to feed us, how you long that you would guide us and lead us, teach us and instruct us, Lord. Father, we depend upon you. You said we are not children of the night, but we are children of the day. Father, that nothing should come upon us unawares, and we thank you for that, Lord. And Father, praying for your blessing upon each person that's gathered upon this evening, Lord. Them that are gathered on YouTube, bless them as well. Anybody that'll watch down the way, may you bless them, we ask. So help us now as we meditate on these things, Lord, as we fellowship around these principles of your word. May your will be done, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So we're looking at this topic, the great earthquake, which is handwriting on the wall. That's where we'll get to by the grace of God. And obviously, what we're looking at first of all is this earthquake in Turkey. You need to look at the slides and you won't be able to see. It's this earthquake in Turkey has been given the official name now of the 2023 Turkey-Syria earthquake. And that was on the 6th of February, which is, and we'll see that the date is really an interesting thing. And Turkish time, 4:17 in the morning, which was a real tragedy because how many people were in their beds just sleeping and suddenly unawares, here comes this devastation. Which is, you know, London time, it was 1:17 in the morning. And it struck, and you can see it there. There's different plates that meet there. You get the Anatolian plate, a big plate, which is Turkey. You get the Arabian plate, which is Syria, going all the way down to Jordan, even down to Israel. And you get another plate over here. I can't remember the name of the third one in the Mediterranean Sea. But these three plates meet together and built up a lot of pressure. And then at that particular time, all of this pressure was released. And it was in the south and center of Turkey and the north and west of Syria, right there on the border. And it's really sad because that area of Syria has also been undergoing civil war. So you get the sword, you get earthquakes, you get famines taking place. They've also had their COVID issues, their pestilence. So just so many things visiting a certain area. It's really, really sad. So it's not nice to see that. And the first one was a 7.8. There it says on there 7.5, the second earthquake, but they've revised that now to a 7.7. So they were almost the same magnitude. And within Turkey, this is the second strongest earthquake ever recorded in the country. The strongest was in 1668. So they haven't had a disaster, an earthquake like this since 1668. And not only the earthquake, but we can see there was the main earthquake, then an aftershock, another huge earthquake. And since then, up to today, there's been over 2,100 aftershocks. So the earth is just not settled there. It's just ringing and shaking and all that kind of stuff. And the sad pictures that we've seen, there's the epicenter. You see the children's doll. And as of today, more than 53,500 confirmed deaths. But that's going to rise hugely because under all of this rubble and all of these buildings, There's just so many people that are missing as well. So this is also the deadliest earthquake in Turkey since the earthquake of Antioch in 526 AD. So it's been 500 years, 1500 years, they haven't had an earthquake of this magnitude. And so many people dying and missing, and so many of them dying as families together, just sleeping in the apartment. The earth shook, the buildings came crashing down. It just reminded me of what Jesus said in Luke 17 about the days of Noah and the days of Lot, when he says, "For as in the days of the flood, they were eating and drinking, and they knew not until the flood came and took them all away." So people just living their lives, eating, drinking, marrying, giving in marriage, building and so forth, not knowing what was just around the corner. And all of a sudden, here comes a sudden destruction. And you can see just how these buildings pancaked, just collapsed. And you can imagine all the people stuck inside of there. It's in the middle of the night. These apartments will all be full of people. So I'm expecting that death toll is going to be in hundreds of thousands in the end because of all of these buildings. And it's the deadliest worldwide earthquake since the 2010 quake in Haiti, which was a big quake that killed a lot of people. And since the turn of the century, the beginning of the new millennium, this is the fifth deadliest already. So you can tell there's a lot of death and sorrow and destruction that's taken place with this earthquake. Look at these buildings. You can just see apartment blocks and things like that. Already they've estimated $84.1 billion in damage. So it says the fourth costliest earthquake on record. So just huge amounts of damage that it's done. All this reconstruction and all the homelessness. It's the middle of winter. It's cold. People that have survived. People are scared to go into the buildings because these aftershocks of bringing buildings down. You would have seen videos on that. You know, just even a rescue team going in and a whole building falling down on them. And it's a real, real tragedy. And it's the greatest natural disaster in Turkey's history. Yeah, they can't remember anything worse than this in modern history. And you can just see the utter destruction. And still, the grace of God, they find people. I saw that yesterday they found horses still alive and they released them from under a certain building. They found babies. There was a lady who died. They got to her. She was pregnant. They managed to deliver the baby and that baby lived. There's a lot of real powerful stories of children who survived and different things for 8, 9, 10, 12 days under this wreckage, and people managed to get them out. But you can imagine the desperation of people when they're waiting for the aid to come, the heavy equipment to come, and you've got your family trapped inside of there. Maybe you can hear voices, and it's under all of this concrete, and you so much want to help the ones that you love, and there's nothing that you can do without the right equipment, and so many people perished because of that. I don't know if you saw the picture of a man sitting holding the hand of his 15-year-old daughter who had died. You can just see her arm is coming out of the rubble, and he sat there for days just holding the hand of his 15-year-old daughter who died. He didn't want to let her go. And all just the stories that you see and the things that come out, there's a lot of human tragedy in these things, all part of this fallen world, unfortunately, that we're living in, and people get caught up in these things. It's a really sad thing. And if you compare before and after pictures, on the left-hand side, this is the name of this city, Karamanmaras. It had 1.7 million people before the earthquake. At the top, you can see all the buildings there, what they were. And now you look, everyone almost has been destroyed. And that being done in the night, you can imagine how many people are caught inside of there in a city of 1.7 million people. Just a sudden destruction that comes. Your building just shakes, comes down like a pancake. And you can see on the right-hand side, another city, you can see with the stadium, you can see what the city looked like before. And now you can just see, look at the buildings. The devastation of most of the buildings just non-existent now. It's a serious, serious thing to think about. And these are human beings like you and I, people that Jesus died for. He died, he shed his blood. They just maybe in the wrong place at the wrong time. But still, God knows his people and God knows how to deliver his people. And I'm sure that in none of his children, whose wasn't time to go, got caught up in that. God knows how to save his people. So they're expecting the death toll to get so high because they say that at least 345,000 apartments are known to have been destroyed. Imagine 345,000 apartments. Imagine how many people were in those in that night. And just under that rubble, you know, some survived, some buildings only partially collapsed, some people got out, and so many people are still missing. That's what the Irish Times were reporting about it. And also the death toll includes the Ghanaian footballer, Christian Atsu. You know, I'm not into the football, but he was had moved across to Turkey. He was playing there. They found him dead in under the rubble in a building. So, you know, with all of his money and all his fame and fortune, it's a sad thing. It just, you know, when that time came, there's nothing that's going to help you. You know, what does a man gain? You can gain the whole world and you lose your soul. What will a man give in exchange for his soul? So there's a lot of really sobering things come from this. And if you look at the extent of it, it was a huge movement of the earth. You can see just by the railway line there, the twisted, you know, just completely twisted, just wah. And that huge movement just shook the buildings and all that kind of stuff. Where these two faults had joined together, they got locked together. Now one slipped, went under the other one. And they say it moved this entire Anatolian plate 10 feet, which is 5 meters. So the whole of that area of Turkey moved to the west by 5 meters, just in that jolting of what's taken place in this earthquake. So you can see it's really shaken the earth. It's moved the earth. And what I really found was interesting is if you look at the fault lines here, there's the red star showing where it was, where these different plates have been locked together, moving in different directions, and then built up pressure, and that was released. But you'll notice that this Arabian plate comes all the way down into Israel. Here's the Dead Sea Fault. Now, so we'll have a look at that right down to the side, just by Jerusalem there. You know, so this Israel's also on a very serious fault line. The same fault line that's produced these earthquakes in Turkey, Israel's on the same fault zone. You can see what will come of that. But the whole of that plate moved across those 5 meters to the west, just moved the whole thing. Now, when you look at the strength of earthquakes, on the Richter scale or the magnitude scale, whatever they're going to use, this one was about a 7.8. So you can see it's a major earthquake. Anything above 8, whenever you get from one to another, you know, you're going up, it's in magnitude. So a 7 is not just 1 degree higher than an 8's not 1 degree higher than a 7. It's 1,000 times more powerful than a 7. And when you get to a 9, it's 1,000 times more powerful than an 8. So no, as you get up in the scale, you're just getting into huge, huge things. So this is classed in that realm of between a major and a great earthquake. And the 7 major earthquakes, both of these were almost 8s, can destroy buildings, cause serious damage. You see that. And coming bordering onto great earthquakes, near total destruction and massive loss of life. You can imagine what kind of forces and powers at work in this. So these were really, really huge, huge earthquakes. The strongest earthquakes in history, the first is the earthquake in Chile in 1960, is 9.5 on the Richter scale. So that was just a massive earthquake. The second one is the one Brother Branham prophesied about, 1964, which is the Alaska Good Friday earthquake of 1964, was 9.2 on the Richter scale. You know, so that was a huge earthquake as well. There was another one in the Aleutian Islands in 1585, 9.2. In Chile, again, 1730, one of 9.2. So there's been similar ones, big, big earthquakes down through history. Then in 2004, that earthquake that made the big tsunami, people remember in Thailand and that when the big tsunami came and killed those hundreds of thousands of people on Boxing Day 2004, there was also 9.2. And the interesting thing is, of the top 6 most powerful earthquakes in history, 3 of the top 6 have taken place since 1960. You know, so we'll see that's a very significant thing. Living in the day we're living in, these earthquakes are becoming more intense and more frequent because we're living in Laodicea. And that's what's prophesied will take place in Laodicea. So many of these earthquakes, the big ones, they've been just within our recent history. Even just since the beginning of, you know, what we say is the time of the message, we've had 3 of the most powerful earthquakes in all history since that time. But we're looking at the great earthquake. Brother Ram calls this one that earthquake to the Gentiles in the last days. In the message, what is attraction on the mountain? He speaks of this coming up great earthquake. You know, he was sitting in the barber shop. There came an earthquake, and he said to his wife, I wonder, could this be the last one, that great one, this earthquake to the Gentiles in the last days? And it's spoken of so much in the message, this of these earthquakes that will come with certain ones in particular. So it's prophesied a lot in the message and so much also in Scripture. And you look at these junctions in Scripture, Revelation 8, verse 5. This is the seventh seal, Revelation 8, verse 1, silence in heaven for half an hour. Then judgment comes now. And Revelation 8, verse 5. And the angel took the censer, we read this in church the other day, and filled it with the fire of the altar and cast it into the earth. And there were voices and thunderings and lightnings and an earthquake. You know, so when judgment comes, we spoke of it on Sunday, there's no more mercy beyond mercy, where now the throne of grace becomes a throne of judgment, where it's now voices and thunderings and lightnings, Revelation 4, verse 5. From the throne, there comes a great earthquake as well. Revelation 6, verse 1, when the sixth seal was opened, there was a great earthquake, so great it must have destroyed everything just about, until the great men of the earth went to the mountains and looked for caves and dens in the mountains, saying, hide us from the face of him who sits upon the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. So this one of these earthquakes, especially this one earthquake, this great earthquake, under the seventh trumpet, Revelation 11, after the two witnesses, Moses and Elijah, it says, and the temple of God was opened in heaven, and there was seen in his temple the Ark of the Testament. That's where the judgment seat is, the mercy seat. And there were lightnings and voices and thunderings and an earthquake and great hail. So you'll always find this when judgment comes, the lightning, the voices, the thunderings, the manifestation of God in judgment, here comes the earthquake as well. So this comes a particular earthquake again under our seventh trumpet. We'll find it again under our seventh vial. Revelation 16, verse 8. And there were voices and thunders, and listen to this one, and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake, such as was not since men were upon the earth. So mighty an earthquake and so great. Wow. So you think of 9.5, the greatest earthquake that man has known in Chile in 1960. What's coming, that's this particular earthquake. Such a great earthquake, such as was not since men were upon the earth. This is going to shake the world. I mean, this is going to be just such a pivotal thing. And I just put on a bit of a chart to show how these things work. At the end of Laodicea, the end of the church ages, when you get to Revelation 4, verse 5, immediately after the rapture, you know, John is caught up and there's the thunderings and the lightnings in the judgment seat. There's an earthquake. We know that's prophesied in the word and in the message. We'll get into it. So at the end, it's like a pivotal event. There's a great earthquake. In the seals, at the end of the seals now, as we come into the trumpets, they come to the seventh trumpet, which is the seventh seal. Seventh seal to the Gentiles is the seventh trumpet to the Jews. Revelation 8, verse 5, we read the scripture, a great earthquake. Under the trumpets, the seventh trumpet, the very last trumpet, just before the kingdoms of this world become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, God just shakes this world with such an earthquake under the seventh trumpet. And then we saw under our seventh vial as well, a great earthquake such as has not been since man was upon this. And this is all the same earthquake. And just showing it, all these things run. The church ages is God is showing us through John one aspect. And then he goes back, starts again, takes the seals and shows it from another aspect. Then he goes back, brings the trumpets and links it in together. Then he comes back, brings the vials. But they all culminate in this great earthquake at the end. You know, it's such a scriptural event. It's such a prophetic event that is going to take place according to Scripture, just as history comes to an end. So like I say, when we're speaking about Laodicea and earthquakes, three of the six most powerful earthquakes ever recorded since 1960. That's a notable characteristic of Laodicea. Now, studying, we're in the Laodicean church age, we're in the seventh church age, we're in the last church age. What does Brother Ram say in the Church Age book about Laodicea, the history of the city of Laodicea? It was a city of earthquakes, such earthquakes as finally destroyed it. Then he goes on to take that of the city of Laodicea in Asia Minor, brings it now, because we are, that's the shadow, we are the fulfillment. This age will end in God shaking the whole world that has gone off to make love with the old harlot. Not only will world systems crumble, but the very earth will be shaken and then renovated for the millennial reign of Christ. So we can see that. We can see that's your seventh vial, your seventh trumpet. Well, he's going to shake it and break it down and renovate the earth now. And then Christ is going to come. The kingdoms of this earth will crumble and fall. The financial systems, the religious systems, all the things that take place. And God is going to shake this world. And then is going to come the kingdom age. That's why these things are obviously birth pains. You know, what we've seen in Turkey now is a very powerful birth pain. Here it's just a birth pain. It's a warning once again. God in mercy is shaking the world to try to get people to stop and to think. No, to consider their ways. And all these birth pains, they link up to one thing, they lead up to a birth. And this is going to be the birth of the kingdom age. When Christ comes as the son of David, as we saw last time, seated on the throne of David in the millennium. But God is, these birth pains are coming more and more frequent, getting more and more powerful. Not only in the realm of earthquakes, but in the financial realm. We just see the economies of the world are shaking. You go and take it in any system, you find the pestilences, the wars and rumors of wars. Things are just building up towards a climax. We're living in the climax of the ages. And he has a little graph just showing us in Laodicea, exactly as prophesied about earthquakes, the number of significant earthquakes each year since 1900. So they say earthquakes are considered significant when they fulfill at least one of the following conditions. Cause moderate damage, $1 million or more, 10 or more deaths, magnitude 7.5 or greater, and so forth. So we can see as time is going on, the number of significant earthquakes is just increasing as time goes on. And that is because you can't beat your type. Laodicea, the city of Laodicea in Asia Minor, one of the seven churches that were written to by John in the natural, was destroyed by earthquakes. So you can't beat your type. So our age also has to guard being destroyed by earthquakes. It has to. It's just the conditions of the day. You can't beat your type. You can't break the word. So that's the shaking of Laodicea. You can see, we really, really see this as a judgment sign, a warning sign of the end. What about the shaking of Israel? And this great earthquake is going to happen in Israel. It's going to be a great shaking in Israel. Haaretz, just a few weeks back, the Israeli newspaper, Israel is hundreds of years overdue for a massive earthquake. Having a lot of tremors, like it says in the north and even in Galilee, but it's the south that they're worried about, around the Dead Sea, around Jerusalem. They're speaking of being overdue for a massive earthquake. You know, so they can really sense it. They know that the pressure is building, just as it was in Turkey. And this building up, pent-up pressure, building up towards something. And listen to what they say in this article here. Israel to get earthquake early warning. So they're just putting an early warning system. They say, when you think of Israel, earthquake destruction probably does not leap to mind. You know, unless you're a Christian, we read your Bible, because earthquakes always are going to leap to your mind. Really. This is a natural newspaper. They don't think much about it. It's just March 2022, a year ago. But when you know Bible history and you know Bible prophecy, earthquakes are so significant in Israel. What about the great earthquake on Good Friday when Jesus died and the whole earth shook and the rocks rent and the graves were opened and the veil was rent in two? I mean, hey, yeah, there's so many earthquakes if you go, and so many prophesied to come as well. But you can understand, the man's just thinking as a natural man, and he says that. He says, although earthquakes are common enough in this region, they tend to clock in at magnitudes of less than four. You know, so they're not too serious most of the time. But like I say, have a look at this fault going right down the center of Israel. Two plates, one moving southwards, one moving northwards, building up pressure right through the Dead Sea, We'll see. That's where Sodom was, Sodom and Gomorrah. Right through the Sea of Galilee, that's where Capernaum was. And just skirting Jerusalem, which is where the Mount of Olives is. All of these things according to prophecy. So you can see it's a very, very, when the Lord divided the nations and the Lord set up the geology of the earth, he made sure that these things were under these particular sectors because they were going to be very, very important according to prophecy in the end time. So he continues on saying, so earthquakes, it's still every decade on average, there's a magnitude 5 or above, so quite a big earthquake. And every 100 years or so, the country is hit with a magnitude 6 or greater. So they call it the 100-year earthquake. When they go back in history, they find it's almost like a clock every 100 years or thereabout. There's a big earthquake comes and strikes Israel. The interesting thing is the last fatal event, the last big earthquake, was a 6.2 in 1927. And that's why the Israeli government are knowing that 1927, we're now in 2023, this normally occurs around every 100 years. What have they done? They called it, that last one, the Jericho earthquake 100 years ago. So the Israeli government has tasked the geological survey with designing an earthquake early warning. They know something's coming. And they called the system a certain name, which means the blast of a ram's horn, like you would do on the year of Jubilee at New Year and so forth. And I just thought it was really interesting. They called the previous earthquake the Jericho earthquake. And they say that they're calling this early warning earthquake system after the ram's horn, the blast of a ram's horn. And there's Jericho and there's the ram's horns being blasted in the days of Joshua, which is a perfect type of our day. Because the days of Joshua, the days of Jericho, everything that